Not recording.
Yes, I'm recording now. We just started the recording. Okay. Chaim Salvavas has been leading us up to, the way we've been putting it was moving from being a Jew who does what he has to do, keeps Torah and mitzvahs, avoids aveiros, moving from there to the class of a Hashem's close circle, if we'll put it that way, the people whose lives are truly dedicated to their relationship with Hashem, to their role as servants of Hashem, to their role as loyal children of Hashem. They want their lives to be dedicated to this. And this is the intent of the Shaar Avodas HaElokim. The subject is Avodas Hashem, as in living a life committed to Avodas Hashem. So he told us that in order to really move on to that track, you have to move a number of your more natural selfish attributes out of the way. In a general way, he told us that is reigning in and getting under control our physical urges, and also moving our ego out of the way. We've discussed this the other weeks. But that's as far as moving the impediments out of the way. What is the essence of actually being a part of this circle, actually living this kind of life? So listen to the way the Chaim Salvavas puts it down. Here he puts it, basically gives you the essence of a life dedicated to Hashem in one, well, long sentence, but one sentence. He says as follows. Omar HaSeichel. You remember, this is a dialogue between it's the person consulting with their Seichel. In other words, the person who's thinking and coming up with deeper insight as in what we'll call a program of thought. The rule here is as follows. Now I'm going to read now what is a convoluted sentence. Okay? Might not mean much to you, but then momentarily, bli neder, we will put it into very profound perspective. Okay? So, Memsheles Hadava Uklalayhu, the rule here, the overarching rule, the essence of the whole issue is Shetikabli Alaych, Mimisha Lemala Mimech, you should accept upon yourself toward the one who is above you, Mashat Roitze Shekabal Mimech Alav, Mishu Lemata Mimech. What you would expect someone who is under you to accept upon himself, emishtanus ha'arachim, with the proportionate differences. Right? I fulfilled my promise. This will be a sentence that meanwhile is not understandable. Okay, good. Wait. Whatever you would consider good from this person who's under you, whatever you would consider bad, whatever you would relate to as right or wrong, so accept that upon yourself toward the one who's above you. What on earth does all this mean? Meanwhile, we've seen a complicated sentence. What's the complicated sentence? Accept toward the one who's above you what you would expect from the person who's below you with the difference in proportions, and whatever you would consider right or wrong, you should behave accordingly toward the one who's above you. Clear? We can all go home, say them. Let's put this into perspective. What the Chaim Salvavas is saying here in this convoluted sentence is something very, very profound and fundamental. Mamish sheds a whole new light on our whole approach to Avodas Hashem. And I'm going to approach this from a number of angles. First of all, we'll start with the famous Gemara in Shabbos. That everybody knows this story. A non-Jew came to Hillel. First, he came to Shammai. A non-Jew came to Shammai and told Shammai, I want you to convert me on condition that you teach me the entire Torah while I'm standing on one foot. In other words, I don't want to spend too much time on it. I want to get the essence in one, you know, as long as it takes me to stand on one foot. What was Shammai's response? Shammai took a yardstick and chased him out of the house. You aren't taking the whole business seriously. Don't waste my time. Then he came to Hillel. And Hillel told him, the entire Torah on one foot? No problem. I'm going to give you the entire Torah on one foot. My dalach sani lechavroch loitavid. Whatever you dislike, do not do to your fellow. Don't act to somebody else the way you wouldn't want someone to act toward you. He told him, that is the entire Torah. Ve'idach, he said, that's the entire Torah. Ve'idach pirushu zil gemar. All the rest are really just the details of this rule. Now, we all know that rule. It's a rule that makes plenty of sense, a beautiful rule. Do not do to others what you wouldn't want done to you. But the immediate question that yells out here is, that covers bein odom l'chaveiroi. That covers the way you act toward people. But doesn't Torah, doesn't Judaism have a whole realm of bein odom l'makom, of your duties toward Hashem? How does it work there? Keeping Shabbos, kosher, shatnez, etc. Where does that fit into the rule of don't do to others what you wouldn't want done to you? So Rashi already addresses this question. He gives two answers. One answer is that it means much of the Torah. That's one answer. It didn't really mean all of the Torah is included in that rule. It means much of the Torah. But then Rashi gives a different answer, which is a bit cryptic, and it's quite clear that this is what the Chavos HaLevavos is actually providing the Pirush, explaining what Rashi meant. Rashi says, when we talk about your fellow, we're actually referring to Hashem. When we say, don't do to your fellow what you wouldn't want done to you, we're referring to Hashem. As it says, he cites a pasuk that in Mishle that refers to Hashem as your friend, Kiviyachol, your friend and the friend of your fathers, do not forsake. So Hashem is your friend. And therefore, you should act to him the way you'd want to be treated. Okay, so it still doesn't explain. You know, do you not want people to be Mechal Shabbos on you? Like, where do all these things fit in? The Chavos HaLevavos is giving a profound perspective here that is the pshat. Yes, that is the intent. The intent is, don't treat Hashem in a way that you wouldn't want to be treated. Now, what does that mean? How does Chilul Shabbos fit in? So let's think of the following. Give a mashal. Let's say you decided that you are going to buy your niece a home. You're going to buy her a home. I don't mean not a three-room apartment, which would be very generous of you. But I mean a mansion on a large estate, large grounds, and you're going to furnish it with all the highest quality furnishings. Why? Because you love this niece and you want her to have a beautiful home. And then you tell the niece, but I want you to do something. There's one thing that I want you to do. I'm going to give you this home valued at I don't know how many millions of dollars. I'm going to give you this home, but I want you to put up a plaque. I want you to put up a plaque in the hallway saying that this home was a gift from Aunt Hannah. Okay? So the niece calls you back a little bit later and she says, listen, Aunt Hannah, you know, it's very important for me to make you happy. I really want to put up that plaque, but I made a couple of calls. The plaques are expensive. They can even cost $30. Would it be okay with you if I just take a piece of paper and write on it, you know, this home was given as a gift to Aunt Hannah? You know, after all, you do have to economize and a plaque could cost $30, $40. How would you feel? Could you say, 1 minute, let's just make sense of what's going on here. I gave you a home that's worth tens of millions of dollars. And you're talking to me about I'm going to spend $40 on a plaque. I could put up a piece of paper. Must it really be a plaque? You would feel very betrayed. You'd feel very hurt, right? This is the point that the Chovas HaLevavos is making. Realize, if you have studied well everything we've been discussing up till now, if you have an appreciation of everything that Hashem is doing for you, and of the reality that he set you up with, you understand that all of the mitzvahs that he's asking for are actually a cheap reciprocation. A cheap reciprocation of everything that he's giving you, including the special favor that he shows you as a Jew, as an individual. And Hashem is telling you, here's what I want you to do for me. So we're talking about show Hashem the gratitude that you would expect from somebody who you showered with good things. And then take into account that whatever you could possibly give somebody, you know, ingratitude is one of the most painful things to deal with. Very, very difficult to contend with a lack of gratitude. And you go all out for somebody and you have it thrown back in your face, or you just have it ignored. And therefore, the Chovas HaLevavos is saying, what he's actually saying is, kiviyachol, he's putting, we think, when we think of our relationship with Hashem, of our reality of avodas Hashem, we think in terms of religiosity, in terms of being from, is what you have to do, what you're not allowed to do. The Chovas HaLevavos is coming here and he's putting a different twist on it. And he's saying, drop religiosity for a minute. Approach it from a perspective of menschlichkeit. Hashem expects you to be a mensch. We're not talking now about being pious. We're not talking now about being highly religious. We're talking about being a mensch, about acting like a mensch toward Hashem, treating him with decency, the same as a human being can expect from another. Don't be more lenient about your bein adam l'chaveroi obligations toward Hashem than you would be toward another person. That's what he's saying here. It's a novel twist, because people don't tend to think of it that way. We think of Hashem as some sort of system. Chovas HaLevavos wants to make Hashem something realer in our lives, something alive, something tangible. And yes, our relationships with people are meant to be a basis for our relationship with Hashem. And don't take liberties with Hashem, because he can handle it that you wouldn't take with people. Anything that you would consider menschlich toward people, you should consider menschlich toward Hashem, right? And the in the Al-Chait that we say, the Vidu that we say, the second one in the Aleph Beis, we have Ashamnu Bagadnu. We've been at fault, we've betrayed. Understand that Chilul Shabbos is not just about you did something that you weren't allowed to do, there could be Gehenim for that. But understand that it is a very severe betrayal of someone who was very, very good to you and is asking you to be Shomer Shabbos. It's a cheap price in exchange for a working heart, functioning kidneys, a family, a home, being a part of the Jewish people who Hashem has such a glorious future destined for, and he made you a neighbor of that. Be a mensch. That's the issue. Be decent. Treat Hashem in a way that he deserves to be treated. Not that he's commanding you to be treated. But that, yes, anything, when you really live with the realization of everything that you're getting from him all the time, it's like whatever he says, I'm running to do. That's the idea here. Now, I want to hit this from another angle also. This is a story. I actually had Siyata Dishmaya. As I was thinking about this shir on Sunday, Siyata Dishmaya, to see the following story on Shabbos, I read the following story. Hashem sometimes shows himself by providing exactly the appropriate, often I should actually say, by providing exactly the appropriate message at the appropriate time. But here's a story about Reb Shimshon Pinkus. Anybody who's familiar with Reb Shimshon Pinkus, he did much for Klal Yisrael by infusing the passion of a relationship with Hashem. making it something real, passionate, tangible. So he said that he was one time in a van, traveling somewhere. It was like, you know, one of these public vans that was traveling with a number of travelers. Each person paid his fare, and they were driving to wherever they were driving. So sitting next to the driver was a boy about 16, 17, a young boy. And this boy took it upon himself to be makariv the driver, talking about an irreligious driver. And this boy figured there's an hour and a half trip now. He took it upon himself to be makariv the driver. He's going to prove him the truth of Yiddishkeit. He's going to prove him the basics of Emuna. He's going to prove him the truth of the Torah from Sinai. So what actually developed was this boy, with his limited, immature understanding, started lecturing the driver on the basis of Emuna. The driver was amused. He was an old cynic. He was amused at this guy's youthful enthusiasm. And he started responding by challenging the kid and making fun and started telling the kid about all kinds of isurim that he does. Well, I do this and I do that. And anyways, I think that it's all just ridiculous. And anyways, I think that all those stories, you know, are nonsense. And the boy was responding all earnestly and trying to prove that no. And the driver was having a good time at his expense. And this is what was filling the van. Reb Shimshon Pinkus tried a few times to get the boy to stop, to just stop the conversation. Just desist. But the boy, his youthful enthusiasm, wasn't stopping, either wasn't getting the hints or wasn't stopping. And Reb Shimshon Pinkus started asking, can you please stop this conversation? Finally, the driver got annoyed because he was having a good time. He was finding it an entertaining, otherwise it would have been a boring ride. And this way it's entertaining. He's having a good time at this kid's expense, making fun, cynical, sarcastic, telling about all the things that he does against the Torah. So when Reb Shimshon Pinkus kept nudging and kept asking, you please stop the conversation? So the driver got mad at him and said, what's your problem exactly? So Reb Shimshon Pinkus said, I have a profound reason why I want you to stop this conversation. You want me to explain why this conversation should not be taking place? Yeah. He says, I'll explain, but I have two conditions. He said this very dramatically. I have two conditions. First of all, I'll give my explanation, but you do not interrupt for as long as I'm speaking. That's condition number one. Condition number two is that once I finish my explanation, you just keep quiet for the rest of the ride. So the driver said, well, condition number one is reasonable enough. I shouldn't interrupt you when you're talking. Okay, fine. But condition number two, well, that depends on whether you convince me or not. Like, why should I commit now not to continue talking? So Reb Shimshon Pinkus said, well, those are my conditions. If you want my explanation, those are my conditions. Either you take them or leave them. He said this dramatically. Now he had the person all curious. I was quiet for a minute or two. Finally said, okay, I accept. What's the explanation? So Reb Shimshon Pinkus said, I'm going to tell you a story. Now here, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm warning you, this is a terrible mashal, but it got the point across in a strong way. This is a terrible mashal. Reb Shimshon Pinkus said as follows. He said, let me tell you a story. There was an accident, a car accident, and a man was killed, Chalila. Someone hit him by mistake, and he was killed. Tragedy. His family is sitting Shiva. He has grown sons who are sitting Shiva. They are weeping over the untimely death of their father. Widow is weeping. Daughters are weeping. People are coming to console them. And then, who comes to be Menachem Avil? Who comes to the Shiva? The driver. The driver who had killed their father. It was certainly an accident. He certainly hadn't meant to do it, chas v'shalom. He comes in, he tells them how bad he feels. And then he says to them, but I must tell you, it was really cool. It was really cool. I hit him. He flew 15 feet up into the air. I never saw anything like it. And then he fell back down and he bounced. He bounced. And the blood splattered everywhere. And yeah, I feel terrible that it happened, but I must say it was like an amazing sight. And I thought to myself, wow, I did all that. Now, of course, I wouldn't have wanted to do it. But what should I tell you? It was a feeling of power. And the sight was just, it was really cool. I never saw anything like it. Everybody is sitting there horrified. So, Reb Shimshon Pinkus said, he yelled. Anybody who heard him, he was a passionate man. He yelled. He said, Hashem is my father. Keep quiet. That was that. And the rest of the ride proceeded in tense silence. Nobody said a word. Terrible mashal, but it gets the point across. The point is that Hashem is not a system. The point is that Hashem is something real. And kiveyachol, we have to relate to him. It's not our business. Does Hashem have feelings? He doesn't have feelings. These are philosophical discussions. But Hashem expects us to relate to him with the same sensitivities that he expects us to relate to other people to. And to avoid offending him in the same way we understand that we should avoid offending other people. And considering everything that he's doing for us, we come back to the point that we've been making. This is not an issue of piety. It's an issue of menschlichkeit. It's an issue of bein adam l'chaveroi. For a person to be able to defiantly talk about all the yisurim he does, when Hashem at that very moment is busy making his heart pump properly, is not an issue of Avera, Gehenim. It's an issue of being an indecent human being. That's what the issue is. This is the important point to understand. And this is the approach that the Chovetz Halavos is giving us here. Relate to Hashem in terms of menschlichkeit. Kiviyachol, Hashem tells us again, the system that Hashem created, our relationship with him is such that, yes, kiviyachol, our actions can actually be mitza'erim. It can cause him tsar, kiviyachol, so to speak. And on the other hand, our actions actually cause him nachas ruach. They can actually cause him pleasure. They can actually cause him pride. And Hashem is waiting for this from us. This is the mentality, the Chovetz Halavos says, that a truly dedicated servant of Hashem, a truly dedicated child of Hashem, is operating with. But I want to hear somebody say, as long as Hashem is, somebody once said about talking during Kaddish. Talking during Kaddish, it says in Halacha, is a severe transgression. You should not be talking during Kaddish. It says very strong things in Halacha about talking during Kaddish. So I once heard somebody say, someone was talking about something came up and he said, Hashem can handle it. The main thing is to be nice to other people. As far as talking in Kaddish goes, Hashem can handle it. Who gives us the right to decide that? Hashem, through the mouth of Halacha, is dictating what he wants from us. And we're going to come and paskin for Hashem, what he can handle and what he can't. As far as we're concerned, if Hashem said, I don't want this happening, then you have to realize that it is no worse, Chalila. It's no better than doing something very offensive to another person. You can't come and say, well, it doesn't really hurt Hashem. Who gives us the right to decide that? Hashem is telling you, it offends me. And we're going to come and say, well, he could really handle it. We're going to paskin that for Hashem. It comes back to this issue of being menschlich, being a decent human being toward Hashem. Okay. So now, let's go back and read this convoluted sentence of the Chavetz Halvavos again, and we'll see that it really sheds a very great light on this whole subject. They say again, he says, Memsheles Hadava Klal Shel Inyan Hu, the overarching concept here is, Shetikabli Alaych Mimishel Amala Mimeich. You should commit to relate to the one above you, in the same way you would expect someone under you to relate to you. Meaning, if there was somebody that you were showering benefits on, how would you expect them to relate to your desires, to your feelings? In the same way that you would expect, that's how you should relate to Kiveyachol, Hashem's desires and Hashem's feelings. Just with the proportionate difference, meaning that whatever you could possibly do for somebody else is still going to be a negligible fraction of what Hashem is doing to you for you. So if you can understand, if you can really sense what sort of appreciation, what sort of sensitivity you would expect from someone that you're showering benefits on, we should understand how much heightened, how much more heightened that sensitivity should be toward Hashem. And then we continue, right? What you would consider right or wrong from that person who owes you everything. What would you consider right from that person? What would you consider wrong behavior on the part of that person? You should in the same way relate to toward Hashem. So this gives a whole different light on Shabbos, Kashrus. These are not issues of piety, not issues of just Gan Eden Gehenim, but it's issues of Hashem said, I gave you a digestive system. I gave you a tongue and a palate that can enjoy those foods. Can I ask you to limit it to certain foods while I'm making that tongue work? I gave you the teeth, right, to be able to process those foods properly. Can I ask you not to use this system that I gave you for certain things? Can I ask you to keep it limited to certain things? Wouldn't we want to show Hashem that we're going to do that to the utmost, to the utmost? And therefore, yes, to try to maintain a very high and enhanced kashrus level as a matter of menschlichkeit. Hashem says, I gave you parnasa. I sustained you in all kinds of different ways. I want you to let go on Shabbos. They say, no, Hashem, I'm going to take the gifts that you give me and use them in ways that offend you. Chas v'shalom. And then we continue. We're going to continue a bit in the Chavis HaLavavis, where he just elaborates it a bit more. Amar HaNefesh. So now the Nefesh says, Hoisifa li peiru shubeo. Can you elaborate a bit more? So Amar HaSeichel. The Seichel says, Halial da'teich toves adikim olayich. Try to, yes, this is the Chavis HaLavavis' recurring theme. Try to think of all of the great benefits that Hashem is bestowing on you, think of both the benefits that you share with all of mankind, right? Like we said, working systems, a working body, etc. And then also take good stock of the individual tevis that you got in terms of your own life's reality, in terms of your own family reality, etc. What are the special benefits, the special privileges that Hashem gave to you as an individual? And then try to imagine that you bestowed benefits of these nature, these types of things, to a servant of yours. And now think, what would you consider an appropriate way for that servant to treat you? What you would consider an appropriate way for that servant to treat you, that's how you should commit to relate to Hashem. And whatever you would consider wrong, what you would consider inappropriate, you should consider wrong toward your Creator. So again, if you are giving a person so many benefits, you wouldn't just expect him to relate to you with the derech eretz that he should relate to anybody with. You would expect him to take your own desires, the things that you want of him, very seriously. And therefore, he's saying, this is the way that you should be relating to Hashem. Okay. So I think that we've conveyed the point quite clearly. And now the Chavis HaVavis is going to take it a step further. And he says, Amra Nefesh. So now the Nefesh says, Havi noisi ma shezochalta li bichlal. I understand the concept. I understand the principle. Achasei mi chesed. Now please, do me a favor. Uba'eroi soli bifrat. And break it down to specifics. What should my life look like according to what you are describing here? So I'm going to want to read through this quickly, just in order to see the picture that the Chavis HaVavis is painting here. Hanyanim shem toivim me'achad me'avdei ha'olam. If we'll talk about the way that a material servant, a regular human being, should act, how should he act toward a human boss, a human master? If you would have a servant who's cared for by his master in a small fraction of what you have been cared for by Hashem, so what we would consider appropriate is mehem. Among the appropriate behaviors would be the following. Now, I just want to say that I'm going to have a hard time really relating to everything that he's going to list now as appropriate behaviors for a servant toward his mortal master. So let's actually not focus on the mashal that he's giving, but on the nimshal. Here's how he's describing the mentality, the lifestyle of a person who's completely dedicated to Hashem. Now, there is going to presumably be some repetition here. He's painting a very flowery, elaborate picture. I want to read through it briefly. Maybe we'll comment on a few of the points just in order to get that broad picture, even if we're not going to really bother now to break it all down into its parts. I'm just going to read it in English. I'm not going to bother with the Hebrew. I'm just going to move through this in English for the effect in order to. It says, first of all, that he should be exclusively dedicated to him, both in terms of action. All the acts that I do are only in his service. Meaning what? Again, what do you mean? You're not going to take care of eating? You're not going to take care of your own needs? Again, we're talking about somebody whose needs are all cared for. And therefore, he does not have personal things that he has to tend to, because they're all cared for. This is part of the point that some of us is making here. All of your needs are cared for by Hashem. And therefore, your entire life should be exclusively engaged in acts done for Hashem, and also speech for Hashem. Now you're going to ask me, one minute. Is that so? The way Hashem set the world up is that I still do have to do things to care for my own welfare. You're telling me Hashem cares for all my needs, but at the same time, you're going to tell me that I have to do ishtadlis, I have to go to work in order to make a living. So how can you tell me that it should all be only that? The truth is, we've been learning this subject now in the evening shiurim. I'll just comment. I meant to comment last week. Mrs. Taylor had mentioned the evening Chavis HaVavis shiurim. I was just going to explain the difference between those shiurim and this one. those the weeknight shiurim are more text based and are more covered ground. We'll elaborate there too. And also, I always try to set up all shiurim such that you can follow just fine, even if you don't have the sefer open in front of you. But still, it's more focused on learning the text and moving along. Whereas this shiur is more prone to elaboration, more prone to developing the topics in the Chovos HaLevavos. Whatever the case is, we've been learning now in Bitochen that if you have the correct understanding of the way Hashem is caring for you, then you understand that going about caring for your material needs, let's say going to work or cooking supper. Why do you need to cook supper? If Hashem wants you to have supper, have it even without cooking it. Or like the Chovos HaLevavos says, you can take it a step further. If Hashem wants you to be nourished, why do you need to bother picking the food up and putting it into your mouth? If Hashem wants you to be well nourished, you'll be well nourished without doing that. No, the answer is that part of Hashem's system is that He wants you to do it along with Him. Just the difference is that you can have a person who feels that it's my job to take care of my parnasa, and therefore I have time dedicated for Hashem and time that I have no choice but to dedicate to my parnasa. But a person who has the true concept of bitachon understands that no, Hashem will be taking care of your parnasa, but He has a certain condition. He says, I want you to be making material efforts toward it. But when you approach it that way, the Chovos HaLevavos says later that that is actually considered a mitzvah. You are performing the will of Hashem. I'm not doing this because I have no choice. Otherwise, I'm not going to have food. I am doing this because Hashem told me that He expects it of me. So you know what? It's a whole different story. Now, working for your parnasa is fulfilling the will of Hashem. Sitting down for a meal because Hashem wants me to be healthy and He made my health contingent on participating in the system by, yes, you have to go through the bother of lifting that fork, sticking it into the food, picking it up, putting it into your mouth and chewing. You're doing all that because Hashem wants me to be healthy and this is the part He left to me. So much more He's not leaving to me. He's going to make it work through my system. He's going to make the digestion go well. All you have to do, once you swallow, you're exempt. Once you swallow, Hashem, you've done your part, and now you can forget about it. Leave it to Hashem. Now, bitachon kicks in. But also before that, Hashem says, here, I want to see you doing this. You do this, I'll do the rest. If you're doing it in that way, then that also is being engaged in Hashem's service. It's doing acts that are Hashem's will. When you're thinking of it this way, then yeah, all of your needs are cared for by Hashem. You can now just simply dedicate your life to doing His will. So it'll be a world of a difference. You can have a person, two from people, both are working 8 hours a day. One person, it's true, his time that's dedicated to Hashem's service is the hour shear that he goes to at night. All the rest of the time, he's engaged in his own material affairs. And the other person, those 8 hours of his work are 8 hours of Avodas Hashem, all depending on where one's mind is. Now, I just want to stress, this doesn't mean that the whole time, okay, you're a computer programmer, you have to figure out now how to make the program, and you say, one minute, I have to remember now, this is, I'm participating in Hashem's will, your level as a computer programmer is going to drop drastically. The idea is the general mindset that you want to be maintaining on a regular basis. You want to be maintaining a mindset of my work is not because it's my job to care for my parnasa. My work is because Hashem wants me to participate in the plan that He has set out for me. If He wants me to participate, I'm going to do that. And this is how we understand what the Chovos HaLevavos says here, that anything that you're doing should only be acts that are dedicated to Him. Okay? As usual, we're right in the middle, but we're going to stop here for this week. Agutavach.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.